Hello, welcome to this week's Therapy for Me, which I'm recording nice and early on Friday night, which means I can probably put it out actually tonight, because I've got to be up and off to go to the guitar show tomorrow morning at 6:30 there or thereabouts. But of course, I know that when I do that, it throws you a little bit. I've had people say to me, I like it when it comes out at the normal sort of time. So I'm in a quandary now. Do I finish this and put it out on Friday evening, or do I know it's done and have that glow as I go to bed of knowing I'm going to worry about it, but then put it out at normal time on Saturday? But then will you know that I've done it early, or could this be a ruse? It's getting very complicated, this. Let's crack on with a little bit of that twangy guitar.
Monday.
Actually, on the subject of that twangy guitar, to answer your question, Simon Nash, yes, it is me that plays the guitar. And I'm not particularly proficient, and I'm not particularly, what's the word for when you put a load of material out? I don't do it very often, basically. So when I was putting this podcast together, I wanted to do everything, including play the bits of incidental music. So I did. And they are what they are. They capture a vibe, but they're not particularly well put together, certainly at the edge of my kind of capabilities. And if you go back to an episode or two that I put out, I think in the summer, another patron, which I think was Quartz, actually, re-recorded them for me in a kind of a summery vibe, and they were fantastic, and his versions were so much better than mine. But we go back to mine because I suppose habit, really. So yes, sorry, I didn't mean to start that, but I thought I was minded to it, so there we go. I had a really nice start to the week, in terms of the fact that Christian Payne, who also goes by the name Documentally, is AKA, rang me. He'd sent me a link to a reusable coffee filter, because I'd mentioned it when I was talking coffee. And he rang me then to tell me, he said, I've rung to answer your question about why your drip coffee tastes different to cafetiere. And what a lovely thing to do. I love it when people do that. I love it when people listen to something and then come back and are sort of happy to share that information. Because when I ask these questions, I genuinely do want to know. And I said to him, he said, do you want me to tell you now? And I said, no, can you record it for me? Because I'd love to include it in this week's TFM. And like the star that he is, he's recorded that answer, and we're going to listen to it next. But having just listened to it for the first time, because I knew I'd got it in the bag and I knew I was going to use it, but I mean, I should have listened to it straight away, but I didn't. I've listened to it as I've put the podcast together. And it's brilliant. And it's possibly the best segment ever on TFM, as far as I'm concerned. Now, of course, for me, that's because it's not my voice. But it is just interesting and articulate and thought through and informed and all of those things that I like to think that I am and I'm not. And if you've listened to me on Corona Diaries, you will know that. Whereas Christian actually is all of those things. And he is a fascinating individual who does some really interesting stuff. And you should check out his blog, because it's really, really interesting, and he finds himself in some amazing places. And we have these weird, quirky conversations, and I just wish the two of us lived closer than we do, because whatever happens, and I think he might be in the process of moving, we always seem to be 2.5 hours apart, wherever we position ourselves in the country. But I'll get back to Christian after you've listened to his coffee chat with another thing that we ended up talking about.
Tuesday.
Anthony, Ant, how are you? It's Christian, Documentally, and yeah, your coffee adventures. I was out walking the dog when I punched the air with joy hearing that you discovered drip coffee, which is one of my favourite ways of making coffee, and you were pondering over why it tastes different to cafetiere or French press coffee. And to hopefully not sound too much like a coffee snob, but I'm in great danger of doing that, I've been through all the toys, all the gadgets, and I've settled on my kind of preferred way. And I alternate between two ways, but mainly I have a filter coffee setup. I have a little stand with a little cone in it, and I can drop paper. I tend to use either recycled paper, or I've got one of these last forever multi-layered metal gauzes. It has like multiple layers of metal, and it does a very similar but not exactly the same job as the paper, because what the paper is doing as it is extracting the kind of grittiness from your coffee grounds, it's also extracting some of the oils and the real fine particles which stay inside the filter. And then you've got your beautiful black nectar dripping at a steady rate into the cup, whereby your cafetiere, the grounds are steeped in water, and you're getting the oils, and you're getting, because that filter at the top is quite coarse, and it's only really taking the grounds out of the water, so you are getting a much more full-bodied, richer flavor. But the coffee's cooling in the glass, and there's all kinds of other things going on, so it is very hard with the French press or cafetiere technique, unless you've got stopwatches and all kinds of stuff, to get a consistently lovely cup of coffee. And it all depends on the ground that you're using as well, the grind and the ground. So paper just to me seems like one of the easiest ways, providing you grind for a relatively swift pour, to get that consistently great, clean and bright taste, which I really love. So I hope that's not too nerdy for you. Personally, I prefer that more balanced, sweeter experience from drip coffee in lighter roasts. Now, the paper takes out a little bit more of the oils than the multi-metal filter will. But when I'm traveling, I have this really cool little silk bag which clips onto the top of a cup with three little feet, and I throw my coffee grounds in there and I pour the kettle over the top. So even if I'm in the seediest, most terrible hotel, I know I'm going to get a decent cup of coffee. And that packs up smaller than a sock, not including the coffee, of course. Well done for this discovery, because I do think it's revelatory. What's next level? What could be next level? Well, if you really want to up your coffee game and get super nerdy, you might want an AeroPress. Now, the AeroPress, and you can get reusable filters for the AeroPress, metal ones, which act in a similar way. They take out some of the oils, but not all of them. And the paper ones, you can get recycled. A lot less paper being used, but you do have to cart around this weird massive test tube type thing. And you're plunging the coffee, the water, through the coffee to give you quite a rich, extracted, almost espresso-type coffee. And then I just top it up with hot water in the top. It gives me a little bit more control, and I can have an espresso-type coffee if I want. It's not true espresso, but it's like a strong, short shot. I can add milk to it if I want to make a flat white kind of deal, and all kinds of other things, all from this one device. But that does require a few hours of YouTube watching to see all the different things you can do with it. So I hope that helps. In short, for you, Mr. Short, you're extracting more of the oils and way more of the fine particulates to give you that clean, bright taste, and a coffee that I think is very similar to the one that I like. Good luck on your future adventures.
Wednesday.
So when Christian and I were talking, we got onto the subject of dumb phones. Okay, festival phones. This whole, the re-emergence of the Nokia, basically. So the idea that you could do a partial digital detox by going for something that was what it was back in the day. And we got to this because when he rang me, I picked the phone up, as you do. And he said, "You're one of the few people that if I ring, genuinely isn't thrown a curve by the fact I've phoned rather than contacted through some other medium or platform," which I think is down to the way I was brought up. So our generation was probably, you know, the generation that used the phone a lot, because the phone was a way we could sit, and I used to sit for 2 or 3 hours at a time in an evening in my hallway on the phone. It had to be the hallway because the phone was in a fixed position, and people have forgotten the fact that actually, you know, when I was growing up, the phone was in the hall. It was on a telephone table. I mean, there's two words that you don't hear anymore: telephone table. But you had to sit in the hall to make a phone call. And it was a lot later when we got an extension in the house. And it was only when I was leaving home that kind of mobile, you know, cordless phones were becoming a thing where you could take it off and talk in the bedroom. So when I was in my teens, if I wanted to speak to friends, then it was sat on the stairs or sat at the bottom of the stairs. And that's how we communicated. You know, that was the thing, because we'd got to the stage where, you know, local phone calls weren't the ridiculous amounts of money that maybe they'd been in the past. So it had gone from maybe, you know, a slightly older generation being scared to use the phone almost because of the expense. We were sat on the phone for hours and hours and hours as soon as the cheap rate kicked in. So one of the things that we did was we talked to each other. And then as soon as mobile phones came along, as soon as mobile phones, the talk time was increased, and because obviously the very first mobiles were ridiculously expensive, you did not use it because it was so expensive. But as soon as they became viable in terms of how long you could talk for, and you got unlimited minutes effectively, so you could talk for hours and hours and hours, we talked for hours and hours and hours on the phone. So working in sales, working on the road, all those kind of things, I spent a long time talking to people on the phone. So consequently, now I phone people and yet get a kind of a non-response. And Christian saying you're one of the few people who's quite happy to have a phone call then got me into that, and it got us into that conversation of, well, wouldn't it be nice to go back to the Nokia? Wouldn't it be great to not doom scroll? What's the bare minimum? We ended up effectively talking about what do these devices not have that I would need to make a full switch. So could I, for argument's sake, go away for a holiday or what have you and get away with a Nokia 3310? Yeah, I probably could. What would I need to do for it to be a practical change to my life? And of course, for that, what it would need to do in my eyes, and this is where I started thinking, I guess I'm inviting you all to think the same thing now, which is, of the apps that are on your phone, what could I not do without? And actually, the top of the list is probably WhatsApp. And you could argue that I could just go to SMS, and I probably could, but there's so many things on WhatsApp that work so well, and I'm so used to using it now, and the fact that I can use it on the desktop as well is really useful. So do you know what? I could probably do without Facebook. I don't really use Facebook a lot. Something like Blue Sky. But do I need it to carry all the media? No, I liked it when it was more text. I liked Twitter back in the day when it was just tweets, when it was just text. So actually that would work on something like that. A camera, yes. Would I like a decent resolution camera? Yes. The screen's about big enough, but it'd be nice to know that you could use that photo if you needed it. And that's about it. That's actually about it. Oh, and wallet. I think wallet's a thing. Could I have something that still allowed me to have my credit card and I guess the other thing is I'm probably don't want to detox from the watch. So if Apple can build me that device that then syncs with the watch, so I can still pay with my credit card on my watch and use it when I'm having a run and those kind of things, but dumb down my phone and take all of this stuff away that I just don't need, then that might just about do it.
Thursday.
Been doing some changing around of Jack's bedroom, and as part of that process, I've lowered his television. He had a cabin bed, like a mid-sleeper bed, and he's gone for a sort of bed that's, I guess, the normal height. So it meant moving his TV down a little bit. And in moving his TV down a little bit, I realised that way back in the day, when we first moved into the house, I'd managed to distribute aerial points around the house. There was an aerial box in the loft which allowed me to do there were extension points at two points downstairs, and I disconnected them and I put the extension points into the bedrooms. because at that point in time, we were just transitioning to, you know, Freeview-y type stuff, and you needed it, you had to get it, tune it in through the aerial. And at the point when I moved the telly, I thought, oh, am I going to have to extend this cable? What am I going to have to do? Yada, yada, yada. And then I just thought, well, why am I doing this? Why am I even doing this? What are we even thinking about that for? Because he does not watch anything on terrestrial telly. And by the way, I don't know if the aerial is now plugged into the main telly in the lounge, even though the point's there, because we changed the television fairly recently and I don't think I actually plugged it back in. Because I had the same thought process of, are we ever going to watch terrestrial TV? And it just stopped me this week, because it's just a thing, isn't it? It's just a normal thing that we're all doing, but you're stopping with something that you're never, ever going to then do again. And this is happening more and more, I guess, as the digital age develops. And I was thinking the other day about the amount of time I spent in digitising music. So back to when I had my first iMac, I spent hours and hours and hours digitising the CDs I'd got to allow me to not only do mixes, but then to have them, obviously, you know, stored as MP3s. And of course, all of that time, as it's turned out, has been a complete waste, because I never play anything that I've got it. If something terrible happened, in the case of when the apocalypse comes, or when whatever comes, or the great switch off, or what it turns out to be, and we're thrown back, then as long as I've still got the ability to play an MP3, I've got a hard drive or hard drives and CDs full of them that I could access. But in reality, in a day to day, they're just never used. And that includes all the movies and things I've digitized as well. So it was only when I saw this, And it was that moment of, wow, how fast does everything move? And it seems like a stupid thing to say, because of course we know it moves fast. But it's when you're faced with that work that you did that now, in reality, is moot.
Friday.
And if you think you can hear the sound of a distant wood pigeon, then you're probably about smack on with that, if I'm being honest. I'm having a good day. It's Friday. I'm actually recording on the right day. I suppose technically I always record at least Friday on the right day, but I'm recording this on the right day. It's the first thing I've recorded for the week, and I'm having a good day. And why am I having a good day? I've just had a 9.5 mile run, and my stats were the best I've had for a run of that distance, so I'm quite pleased with that. Because the long run I do in a week that I've started to do now is a run. It's a loop round through Brockholes and New Mill, and then round up into Home Firth, and I climb up to the high school, and then I drop down the other side. I appreciate none of this means anything to you. I mean, some of you might have some idea of where I'm talking about, but it's quite a hilly route. It's there's a couple of naughty little climbs in there. Very cheeky, and it's the run now in my head that I don't look forward to. So I do look forward to it, I enjoy it, but it's the one where I set off thinking, have I got this? Am I fit enough for this particular run? And of course, that's all in degrees, isn't it? Because of course I'm fit enough to do it. I could run it slower and what have you, but I've done it in 9:31 minute miles this morning, with a heart rate of 131, I think. Still saying moderate on the all effort, which I absolutely disagree with, particularly on that third hill. So that's gone really well. And that run, I'll look back at my stats, that run's been getting steadily better over the last, I think it's about the fifth or sixth time I've done it now. And it's getting steadily better. But I've knocked 10 seconds off the time from last week, whilst having a much more controlled run. Last week's run was all over the place in terms of heart rate. I was going too high, and I didn't get into a settled rhythm at all, whereas today I've been a settled rhythm all the way through whilst actually maintaining a better pace. So I'm very, very pleased about that. Obviously I'm looking forward to the guitar show, which is over the weekend, so I'm looking forward to seeing Jace, looking forward to seeing a load of folks there that I know, which is going to be really good. Obviously it's hectic. I'm comparing the live stage, so that'll be fun, and I'll be tired by the time I get home over the weekend, but as it stands at the moment, I'm looking forward to that.
But the big thing, the icing on the cake, and I nearly did this yesterday, but I missed the moment, but I've caught the moment this morning, is that I'm sat in the back garden with my first coffee of the day in the chair that I like to sit in with the sun on my face. I've recorded this entire section with my eyes closed because the sun is that bright. And it's just... And I know it might be a month before I get to do this again. I appreciate how the weather goes this time of the year. I know this might be a freak for a couple of days and then we might have horrible weather and I might be thinking, when am I going to get to sit outside? But just this suggestion, this whiff of what hopefully I can be doing on a more regular basis in a couple of months' time, like every day, if, you know, if truth be known. I've got that first little hit for the year, which is... wonderful. So I'm going to just savour this. I'll probably let the audio run a little bit and get a bit of the sounds of the garden just to finish off. And I've still got stuff to do. I've got some notes to write for TCD and I've got some work to do and I haven't got long to enjoy this, but I've got 15-20 minutes. I can just enjoy this. I hope you're well. Hope you had a good week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. I've got an idea about one of the things that's going to be in it, but actually it stands at the moment, bearing in mind this is the end, I don't really actually know what I've said. So it's going to come as much of a surprise to me as it will do to you, but I hope you enjoyed it. And stay safe, and I'll speak to you all soon.
Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.